Yet not I, but Christ in me. When the race is complete, it will be complete one day. Our race. Some of us are closer to the finish line than others. That's what we're going to talk about a little bit this morning. So if you would, turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Let's go to the Lord and ask for His help again as we come to His Word. Lord, we confess we need Your presence. We need the ministry of the Holy Spirit to come and give us ears to hear and hearts to receive, minds to comprehend. Lord, You would take Your word and You would enable us to hear the Lord Jesus speaking to us of Himself. We thank You. We thank You for the ministry of the Holy Spirit that will take the Word of God and minister to the people of God and form the people of God. Maybe today for the first time someone would hear the Lord Jesus call their name. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, beginning of verse 1. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth. Before the evil days come and the years draw near, when you will say, I have no delight in them. Before the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are darkened, and clouds return after the rain. In the day that the watchmen of the house tremble, and the mighty men stoop, and the grinding ones stand idle because they are few, and those who look through windows grow dim, and the doors on the street are shut as the sound of the grinding mill is low, and one will arise at the sound of the bird, and all the daughters of song will sing softly. Furthermore, men are afraid of a high place, and a tear on the road. The almond tree blossoms. The grasshopper drags himself along, and the caperberry is ineffective. For man goes to his eternal home, while mourners go about in the street. Remember him before the silver cord is broken and the golden bowl is crushed. The pitcher by the well is shattered, and the wheel at the cistern is crushed. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher. All is vanity. Again, may God add His own blessing to the reading of His Word this morning. I've told many of you several years ago, Tom Wells, a dear friend to this church, said to me, Mike, find a group of people to grow old with. And by God's grace, that's what I had done. I just didn't realize it would happen so fast. The growing old part. Aging can be depressing. You remember the first time that you looked at someone and for the first time it struck you, boy, they look old. Now, I'm not talking about every morning when you look in the mirror and you think, who put me in this old man's body? Aging isn't easy. There's a certain sadness that comes along with aging. And there are real, real spiritual dangers that come along with aging. All of a sudden, if we're not real careful, our focus becomes more on aging than it does the gospel. It comes more on aging than serving the church. And still, as long as we have breath, doing what we can with what gift the Lord has given us to serve the body of Christ. Oftentimes, the bucket list becomes more important. What I want to do before I die. I think it was John Wesley that was asked one time, if you knew that you were going to die next Wednesday, what would you do? And he opened up his planner and said, this is exactly what I would do. I would serve Christ. I would preach. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ has to be kept clearly in view all the way to the finish line. There isn't a time when we can take our eyes off of Christ. Therefore, we read in Hebrews 12, right before we read this morning, right after the faith chapter of those who persevered in faith to the end. These last two verses says, never receiving what was promised. Because that couldn't happen until Christ came and lived and died, resurrected, ascended, poured out His Spirit, the church being formed. Therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses of those who persevered to the end in faith, surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and sin which so easily entangles us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Let us run this race. We've seen over the past few weeks how Koheleth has called us to be bold in Christ. To be bold as we go through this life. From beginning, our moment that we came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the moment we came to realize that we were forgiven, that we are justified, declared not guilty, not on the basis of anything that we have done, nothing that we have done. The judge declared us not guilty because the Lord Jesus Christ took our place on the cross of Calvary and died the death that we deserved, endured the punishment that we deserved. We've been declared not guilty. That must change how we live. That, as we will see in the Sunday school class going through the series with Dr. Sproul. We can't say, I believe in the doctrine of justification, and then just be the same. We can't say that I know that I'm forgiven by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ alone, and then just live ignoring Christ and His church. Be bold, not brash, not arrogant, not snotty. Be bold in living with one desire, and that is to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. We're going to get into that next week. Next week will be, Lord willing, the final message from Ecclesiastes. I'm not excited about it. It's kind of like saying goodbye to a friend for a while. But I am excited about it. But we'll look at what we're called to do. Fear God and keep His commandments. That's, if you read ahead, you'll see that's what that last section is centered about. Fear God, keep His commandments. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And we'll get into what that means in more details. But we can't love Christ and ignore Him. We can't truly realize that we've been loved by Christ and ignore Him. So there must be a boldness. There must be a confidence in our lives concerning Christ. Concerning Christ. That is there because of the indwelling Holy Spirit who is taking the things of Christ and making them known to us. We are bold in Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18. We become bold in Christ by seeing the glory of Christ. Not by reading all these books and doing all this study, and we'll get to that a little bit next week also. But it's simply seeing Christ and His glory. It is the Holy Spirit taking this word and allowing us to see more clearly the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where boldness comes from. And you don't have to be a genius. You just need to be indwelt with the Spirit, looking upon the Lord Jesus Christ and being transferred from glory unto glory by beholding His glory. Be bold. Then Koheleth told us, as we looked at last week, we're to be joyful. We have these three commands at the end of this book of Ecclesiastes. Be bold. Be joyful. We're called to be joyful as a testimony to the power of the gospel and the reality of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not called to be silly. Not called to be silly. Not called to be just with a fake eye panic smile on our face all the time. As if somehow we can live above all the trials and difficulties and pains and hurts and sorrows of life that we read about in this book. But in the midst of them, because of the reality of the gospel of Christ for us now fulfilled, there is a joy. There's a peace that comes from a boldness in Christ. Well, today we want to look at the third call, the third command. Chapter 12, verse 1. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near when you will say, I have no delight in them. How many times have you heard people say, should have no delight in life anymore. Growing old isn't for weenies. As we pointed out last week, the word here for youth and young are to be seen somewhat in relative terms. It is addressing youth. It is addressing young people. But as we said last week, a 40-year-old is a young person to an 80-year-old. An 80-year-old is a young person to a 100-year-old. Remember, it is really addressing that whole group of people that have not really entered into the evil days yet. The evil days we saw in chapter 11, verse 8. Indeed, if a man should live many years, let him rejoice in them all, and let him remember the days of darkness. For there will be many. Everything that is to come will be futility. These are days of darkness we saw. These are days when everything is, when you're young and youthful, everything is usually bright and more often than not bright. But there's days coming where there will be trials and difficulties and pain in every life. Those are the evil days. We're told to remember that the Lord has made the good days and the Lord has made the bad days. Difficult times that will come to one's life. The evil days that's referring to here in 12:1 stand really in contrast to the days of youth, the evil days that come at the end of life. If it's not a sudden death, usually that process, and even before the process, just the slow decay of life. They both just represent times of misery, times of trouble, times of pain, times of suffering, times that could cause one to doubt, a time that would cause people to turn in on themselves. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near to when you will say, I have no delight in them. You have three befores in the passage that we read this morning. You find one before in verse 1, one before in verse 2, and a before in verse 6. Something that we're to do before these days come. It's really a good thing, folks, to believe in the absolute, meticulous, exhaustive sovereignty of God before you find yourself in situations where you really need to believe in the sovereignty of God. That's why studying and together and growing together as a church and as a body and understanding who the reigning Lord Jesus Christ is revealed in these scriptures. We must do something before these days of life come. And young people, they will come. Dark days will come. If you live long enough, evil days will come. So what we have in this passage of Scripture, we have two pictures. We have, first of all, verses 1 through 5 that gives us a picture that describes the aging process in two images. And then beginning at verse 6, we have death being pictured, really with three images. But I tell you what, it's not really death that's our problem. It's not really death that's our major concern. Hebrews 9:27 says, "And inasmuch as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment." There's a judgment. It does not stop with death. Our existence, our being does not stop with death. There is an appointed time of judgment. And there's something we must do before that takes place. Remember your Creator. First of all, before the trials of life come, and before death and judgment come, for they will surely come. Verse 1, the word Creator here is plural. Note, it does not say remember God. It says remember your Creator. If you create something, it belongs to you. If we create something, we own it. It's ours to do with whatever we choose to do with it. This is a call to remember. And to remember is more than just thinking about. It's more than just acknowledging something. To remember here is to remember in a way that brings forth action, that brings forth a response. Living, it's a call to live in the light of a creator-creature relationship. The problem with so many today is that we've completely lost this creator-creature relationship. We can be gods. We control our own destinies. We do whatever we want to do with our lives. Remember your Creator before the evil days come. Go with me to Colossians chapter 1. Just to make it very, very clear here. Colossians chapter 1. Remember verse 16 and 17 of Colossians 1? For by Him all things were created. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. For by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Remember your Creator before. Remember your Creator. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord over every life in this room. He is Lord over all things. I'm sure that not everybody in this room recognizes Him as Lord. See, that's what happens when we become Christians. when the Spirit of God comes and does a work on our hearts and opens our eyes and allows us for the first time to see who Jesus Christ is, we fall before Him and say, Lord. We recognize Him as Lord. From the moment of our conception, we are owned by the Creator. We do not have a right to do with our bodies what we see fit or what we want to do. We have a Creator. Physically, and then spiritually, if we're Christians. Every Christian has been created twice. Once physically, and then once spiritually. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, a new creation. Old things have passed away. New things have come. When we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, now everything is seen through the lens of our Lord and our Savior. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. This is a call for us to think about the Lord Jesus Christ when we're young. When we're young. Anywhere on that scale. Young people, teenagers, think about the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no free pass. There is no age of accountability, which before that moment, you're not responsible for your sin. The age of accountability, according to David in Psalm 51, is conception. In sin was I conceived, and in iniquity was I brought forth. Think about the Lord Jesus Christ when you're young. Think about who He is. Think about who He is revealed to be in Scriptures. It's plain. We saw it again this morning in the Sunday school class. It's plain. The Spirit of God, taking the Word of God, can make it plain to anyone at any age that they have comprehension. The perspicuity of Scripture, if you want the big word, is plain. The plain thing is the main thing in Scripture. And the main thing is the plain thing in Scripture. You can read all the other books and go into all the details of all kinds of theological wisdom and knowledge and miss the plain thing. The plain thing is the main thing. And if you can read and comprehend, the Spirit of God can take the Word of God and change and make a new creation in Christ. What He did on the cross, that He's alive and He's reigning and He's ruling over all things. That He's the only Savior. That there's salvation in no other name under heaven but the name of Jesus. Think about young people of all ages. Think about the fact that He loves to forgive sin. The Lord Jesus Christ loves to forgive sin. Remember Jesus Christ in your youth before life becomes even more complicated, more difficult, particularly for young people. Life gets complicated when you get married. Life gets complicated when you have children. Life gets complicated when you go to work out in the world. Life gets complicated as you see death. Life gets complicated as you come to realize that there is a judgment coming. Remember your Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ, in your youth before these things. Don't believe the devil's lie. Don't believe the devil's lie. Don't believe the world's lie and the devil's lie is the same thing. That lie is, youth is for pleasure. Age is for business. Old age is for religion. You know how many people think that way? Well, when I get older, then I'll become more religious. But right now, the Lord Jesus Christ deserves our very best. All of our life, in every period of our lives, not just at the end of our lives. He doesn't deserve the leftovers of a life. So what we have in verses 2 through 5 is two descriptions of the aging process. Verse 2, it's a coming storm. Before, remember your Creator before the sun and the light, the moon and the stars are darkened, and clouds return after the rain. You see, just the storms, the clouds are there, and the difficulties, and then the storm hits. And as you get older, what happens right after you go through one storm? Here's the clouds again. There's another storm coming. At least whenever you're young, you go through some trial, you go, okay, then you have a chance to recover. You have a chance to heal. But the older you get, as the evil days approach, just one after another. Like the person said, we're always going to organ recitals. Talking about what organ is hurting, what organ is no longer working. When we are young, there's hope for recovery. And the older we get, we know it's not going to be there. Verses 3 to 5 gives us a description of a decaying house. Verse 2, there's this storm. Verses 3 to 5, there's this picture of this decaying house. Koheleth uses this once magnificent, beautiful house that has over time become dilapidated, has fallen into ruin, to describe what it's like to find your body failing in old age or as you age. Verse 3, in the day that the watchmen of the house tremble, the hands, the arms, the watchmen of the house, that which protected the house, that which guarded the house, that which repaired the house. Strong, capable of defending us personally and also providing. Now they tremble. When men go to work out at the gym, what do they work on? The arms. So you can build the cannon. Not even a 22, not even a BB gun. description of our bodies, our weakness. Hands. It used to be so easy to put a nut on a bolt. It's not easy anymore. Verse 3 says, men stoop, mighty men stoop. One of the signs of old age is the stooping posture. The older we get, the harder it gets to stand up straight. And the knees, you know, the knees just give out, don't they? Don't you wish you could just squat down one time and be able to get back up without groaning and moaning? My dad, I can remember my dad talking about how his knees hurt. Now I know exactly what he was talking about. I wish I hadn't laughed at him so much. The grinding ones stand idle because they are few. This is the day before dentures and partial plates. This is a reference to teeth, I believe. And there's not many left, so they stand idle because there's not a lot of food that you can chew on. Those who look through windows grow dim. Perhaps speaking of eyesight, before again glasses were invented. The eyes are our windows to the world, and all of a sudden things get dim, become more isolated. We know what's happening around us because of what we see. And we all know what happens to us around the age 40, 45 or so. Verse 4 talks about the doors of the street are shut as the sounds of the grinding mill is low hearing. Listening, hearing through a shut door what's going on out in the street. Again, before hearing aids, thank goodness for hearing aids. The sounds of life are muffled as though they have to come through a closed door. Again, an isolation. The older, sometimes we grow, the more isolated we become from the world and things around us. That's why we need the body of Christ. That's why we need brothers and sisters in Christ. One, verse 4, one will arise at the sound of the bird. What? If the hearing is going, what's this rising at the sound of a bird, being awakened by the sound of the bird? Many believe that this is probably more to do with the older you get, it seems like the earlier you rise. The older you get, the harder it gets to sleep in, that you're up with the birds. Also it says in verse 4, all the daughters of song will sing softly. Literally, this should be translated, all the daughters of song are brought down. Now for us, for those of us who were never gifted with the ability to sing, this probably doesn't make a lot of difference to us. But it's probably referring to a voice that could sing. A really beautiful voice, but with age, it's just not there anymore. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, so that as this process is taking place, Lord, I know that you're right in the middle of it. You're right in the midst. You've promised never to leave me nor forsake me. Hebrews 13. Even in this process, Lord, I know your love and your care. Verse 5 goes on and continues a description of aging without really referring to a house. Verse 5, furthermore, men are afraid of high place, of a high place. How many of you still jump up on ladders like you used to? And of tares on the road. Just don't really like to travel as much as we used to. Feel more safe and secure at home. Old age brings certain fears. Ladders falling just takes longer to heal. Verse 5, the almond trees blossom. You know what that is. Gray hair. Almond blossom was white as it would cover a tree. Gray thinning hair. Verse 5, the grasshopper drags himself along. What's that? You ever watch a grasshopper just poing, 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 hopping around over here? Remember when you were young and you could go poing, poing, poing? Now it's just drag yourself along. Used to be quick. Used to be agile. Used to be somewhat coordinated. Not anymore. But the Lord reigns. And He rules. And then verse 5 says, the capybara is ineffective. What is that? Well, it is the loss of desires. To put it crudely, the Viagra isn't working anymore. A lot of desires aren't there anymore. The loss of desires. That's the picture that we are to remember our Creator before. We're to remember who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ and who our reigning Lord Jesus Christ before these things. And then very quickly, verses 6 and 7, we have two images of death. To remember the Lord Jesus Christ before. Remember Him before the silver cord is broken and the golden bowl is crushed. The pitcher by the well is shattered and the wheel of the cistern is crushed. What is that? Well, again, you can kind of have the picture of this house or this property, but the first one is, again, the picture of the golden bowl being crushed. Well, that's a light. That's a bowl that had the oil in it and lit up the room and lit up the house and made the house light. And it's suspended in here by this golden, the silver cord. Before that cord is broken, before that light falls and is crushed and is extinguished to where there's now darkness, remember your Creator, remember the Lord Jesus Christ before death occurs. Something that was beautiful, something that was lovely, now in death becomes destroyed, our bodies. And then the second picture is something functionable. You have a pitcher by the well to draw water, life-giving water, and the mechanism that would bring that up out of the well. They're destroyed. They don't function anymore. This beautiful body is not going to function one day. Remember our Creator before that day comes. Verse 7 describes it. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was made. God spoke all things into being in creation. Spoke all things into being with His word. But when He came to make man, He knelt down, and out of the dust of the earth He formed Adam. And it's back to that dust that our bodies will return. But unlike the other animals, God breathed the breath of life into Adam. Breath, spirit, same word. He breathed His spirit, the breath of life, into Adam. We're not animals. We're not animals. There's a distinction between human beings and animals. We have the breath of life, the spirit. And at death, the dust goes back to dust, and the spirit goes back into the presence of the Lord. But remember Christ before that day comes. Because we read in John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs in the graves will hear His voice and will come forth. Those who did good deeds to the resurrection of life, those who committed evil deeds to the resurrection of judgment. Good deeds, evil. The good deeds is remembering your Creator before this happens. Remembering the Lord Jesus Christ, responding to the Lord Jesus Christ. The evil deed is denying Jesus Christ by living life as if He never existed, as if the cross of Calvary never occurred. Paul says, Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ. For me to live is for the purpose of setting forth Christ. And to die is gain. Remember Christ before the evil days come. Remember your Creator. Well, next week we will bring to conclusion as we look from verses 9 through 14. Today we've talked about remembering the Creator, and you can look in that section. It's going to talk about a shepherd. Know Him as Creator, but do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your shepherd? Have you heard Him call your name? My sheep hear My voice. I know them, I love them, and they follow Me. Are we following Christ out of love for Him? Let's stand. Lord, we thank You this morning and with all the questions and all that goes through our minds as we anticipate the coming of our own death. Lord, would You please, through Your Spirit, enable us, move us to remember the Lord Jesus Christ, who He is, who we are in Him, forgiven of all sin, declared just in His sight. And Lord, may that be lived out in our lives boldly, with joy, demonstrating a godliness and a desire for godliness. Lord, we pray if there's one here who's yet to consider their Creator, would you enable them to do that this day? That they would come to know the sweet assurance of forgiveness of sin, the peace that comes from knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Father, may we set him forth as a body of Christ to demonstrate the power and the glory of this precious gospel. As we pray in Jesus' name, amen.